Our prayer, the prayers of the saints, the prayers of the sinners. When we give our prayers to Him, we are an incense to Him. And that's what He wants to see rise to Him. That's what He wants from us, is our prayer and our surrender. Those that we have in our hearts, things that are on our mind, Lord, He just wants that. And He wants that sweet smell of our incense in His throne room. He wants our prayer as well as our praise.
Everything in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles. Come alive in the name of Jesus. I feel really excited right now, and let me tell you why. Spirit of God is moving so strong, kind of in a stream right here. I don't know if some of you can feel it, but I can. These last two songs that we've just sung, those are songs of declarations. Those are songs that we're speaking out. This is a house of miracles. Spirit, break out. Break our walls down. These are declarations sung from us to the Father. And let me tell you something. There is no small or large miracle. Anything is called a miracle that where Jesus moves and works and repairs and restores. They're all called miracles. So do you need healing in your whole body? I do. I'm standing here to declare today, I have pain everywhere. I'm hurting so bad. I am standing right here until I receive my miracle. What miracle do you have? Is there a break in your family? Is there hurt in your heart? Is there someone that you've lost and you just can't get over the grief? I'm going to tell you and declare today, I'm okay. I have a friend that is planning the funeral of her husband. I'm okay. But Jesus wants to move in every single one of our lives. He doesn't want anybody to miss out. So if you need a miracle, if you want, what was that? Heaven come down, break our walls down, do all of that. If you have walls that you know are in your heart and you need them to be broken down, you should be standing up here right now. You shouldn't have to need someone to say, oh, it's okay. This altar is always open, even in the middle of the word, if you have something that you need. So who needs it? Who besides me is going to declare, come on, that's right. Come on, let's continue to sing that. Men, when men are up here, I need you all to come up and help me pray.
And it's not just for me, because we all know people, and I'm standing in the gap for those that need walls broken down.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. from the Lord this morning. God's highlighting you. He sees you. Come receive your freedom. Come receive your breakthrough.
This is a building, and we have come here as his representatives, as his children, as the ones who carry him in us through the Holy Spirit. And so this is a house of miracles because we're here. And when we leave, we will be a house of miracles. We will take the house of miracles with us. We don't have to bring people to church for them to receive miracles. You have a miracle in you because you have all the fullness of God in you. You have all of the Holy Spirit. Nothing is lacking in your life. You have everything that you need to fulfill what God calls you to do. And when you love on somebody was sharing how they were loving on someone this week. That's a miracle. Where God's working is a miracle. Praise the Lord. Take a few minutes, greet each other. God bless you all. Thank you, team. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Huh? Ah, kind of. Not a big deal. What's that? Oh, yeah. We need the mic anyway. Yeah, there you go.
Yep. All right. Good morning. I'm going to pray for Yakima. And, do you guys know big things are happening in our city? One thing that happened this last Friday, we, as a youth ministry, gathered with about five other youth ministries and did a worship night at CLC on 40th, Christian Life Center. And it was just amazing to see churches unite. And so I just believe through that too, like that's not the only thing, but seeing churches come together and like worship and not, there's no agenda. It's just, we're just here to worship. We're going to bring our kids. It was amazing.
I heard there's almost 100 people.
Almost 100 people. Yeah. Yeah. Many, probably about a dozen salvations or rededications, and God's doing something in the youth of our generation, and so I'm going to continue to toot that horn because I believe it, and I believe that God has something for our city and for our government, and I'm just going to pray if you guys can just agree with me. God, I thank you so much for what you're doing, God, in Yakima, in the Yakima Valley, God, in all the surrounding areas. God, I just pray a blessing on this land. I thank you, Jesus, Lord, that you have a destiny, a divine destiny, Lord, for this city, Lord, for what you're doing, God. We thank you for that, God. Even the things that we can't see, we thank you that you're moving. We thank you, God, that your ways are so much greater than ours. We thank you, Jesus. There's no greater strategy than yours, God. And so we pray a blessing over it, God. We pray a blessing, Lord, over our government, God, over the ones that govern our city, as well as the ones who govern our country. God, we just pray a blessing, God, that you would give them heaven's strategy, Lord. Lord, that right now they would have the mind of Christ, Lord. We just speak and declare the blood of Jesus over the White House. Lord, the blood of Jesus over anyone and anyone who holds a seat in office. Lord, who makes decisions for our country, who makes decisions, Lord, for our city. And we just thank you, Jesus, Lord, that it is you that appointed the ones in leadership and that you will bless them, God. We pray, Lord, for our president. Lord, we pray, Lord, for all those under him. We pray, Lord, that you would bless his heart, Lord. You would bless his mind, God. You would just give him, Lord, the words to say, God, and the truth to speak. And we just pray that all the way down, Lord, from him all the way down to everybody who's under him, Lord, to our own mayor as well, Jesus, to our own city councils as well, Lord, that you would bless them, Lord, with divine wisdom from heaven. And we thank you so much for this. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.
Well, praise the Lord. Oops, sorry. Praise the Lord. That's awesome. Praying for Yakima. Praying for Yakima. We don't have to do it just at church. We can do it at home. Mm-hmm. We can do it as we drive around. And pray for the government as we see the news and we hear the bad reports. We don't have to enter into the bad report. We can pray that God would move and intervene. Right? Amen. So we have a few announcements. This coming Saturday, March 19th at 9 a.m., we're going to be meeting at Sherry's for breakfast with men. So in Union Gap. Sherry's in Union Gap. Thank you so much, because there are two Sherry's. That's correct. And we'll be just having breakfast together. It's not any big, heavy thing. Maybe a couple of us will just share something that's on our heart. But it's really to connect, to have community, as Eric shared on Friday night. It's really necessary to get together with each other, fellowship. It says to not forsake the assembly together, but it says to do this even more so as the day approaches. Mm. And how many know that we're closer to Jesus' return than we were yesterday?
Amen.
Today? Yep. And Saturday will be closer again. But the signs of the times show that we're in some kind of major event, that God's working, and that the enemy may be trying to work, but how many know that God's more powerful? Yeah. Yeah. Amen. All right. So that's going to be an awesome time. Invite all men. If you have friends that don't go to church, or even go to church and don't have a place to connect on with men, please invite them. You're welcome. And then you want to go ahead and announce that?
Yes. Then that night from 6 to 8 is our prayer night. And we meet downstairs in the prayer room. So when you go down this set of stairs to the bottom and you turn to begin walking, you're going to just walk straight through to that door, and that's where our prayer room is. And we're going to be praying for a couple hours. We're going to be lifting up not only Yakima, but we have a whiteboard that has something strikes you that you want to pray about. You can go up and write it on the whiteboard, and then we all get together and pray over those needs toward the end. And I think what I love the most out of prayer night is we're all in one accord. And I'm not talking about a vehicle.
Not a Honda.
Not a Honda. I'm talking about our hearts are all for the same thing, for prayer, for lifting up the needs of this valley, this country, our friends, to the Lord, and we're all together agreeing. And I love that so much. I just think that's so very powerful.
Amen. And then we have on the 27th, it's immediately following service, right? Downstairs, we're going to have a spaghetti fundraiser. And that is for the youth, so that they can have the ability to have funds to do activities together and just to start preparing, I'm sure, for camp this summer and all of those things that are expenses for the youth. And so if you would like, you can pre-purchase early. It's $7
per person.
If you're a family. Suggested donation. There you go. If you want to get more, you can, you know, and if you can't afford, you know, that's
we're not going
to
turn
you away. Talk to Eric. He'll foot the bill for you. No, oh, sorry. I have to throw that out there. Anyway, and if you're a family of four or more, it'll be $5 per person. Is that correct? Yeah. Okay. Got that right.
Wonderful.
And, I just want to thank everyone for giving to this house. Thank you for your tithes, your offerings, for
support.
That's a part of your life. Did you guys know that when you give money, you give tithes, that and give offerings, that's
hours that took you to live. And that is, mm-hmm. you're giving part of your life to us. So helps keep the lights on, helps keep, you know, all the things that we need to do here as a body. So praise the Lord for that. Also want to let you know you can give online or you can give. There's a box in the back or a box up front. And so thank you for everyone who gives.
And I have one more thing to talk about.
One more thing. Okay.
So next week on Sunday, directly following the service, we are going to be loving on a sweet family. David and Tanya Martinez are expecting baby number 3. She had given away all of her boy clothes, and now she has another boy coming. but we really want to love on them as a family. For those of you that don't know, Tanya lost both of her parents within 8 days of one another due to COVID in November. And as a woman, I know when I was pregnant, the emotions were raging, and to have to bury both your parents and just live that grief, I know has been really rough for their family. So we just want to love on them. So we're going to be meeting over here. If you can, bring a package of diapers, boy clothes, whatever can help them out. But we as a church are going to be serving lunch. We're going to be serving Alfredo lasagna, and we're going to be serving spaghetti. So you will be fed as we honor David and Tanya. So if you can come, that would be wonderful. I know that I really am excited to take this opportunity to love on them. We don't get to see them as often as we'd like because of David working, and the further along Tanya gets, the harder it is for her to corral 2 children in church. But they will be here next week with bells on, and we just want to love on them. So just if you'll remember that, and we will send out a reminder text Thursday or Friday-ish just to remind everybody. But just if you can and want to, please just love on them. Pardon me?
Amen.
Huh? We are going to, if you want to bring a frozen dish, we're going to be doing frozen dishes after the baby comes. Yeah, we will do that.
So they can bring that then?
They can bring that then, or we can wait until the baby comes.
Okay, awesome. Yeah. Okay, well, praise the Lord. A few weeks ago, almost a month ago, I guess now, this was the date on it, February 13th, so it's when we had the last time we shared. So, but we've been talking about John 17, which is the entire chapter is the Lord praying. It's him lifting up his voice before the Father and praying for his disciples, praying for their ability to make it through the difficult times and for them to be overcomers, for praise for us as believers that will hear through their word in the future. And so it's a powerful chapter. I encourage any of you to read it. It's got a lot more theological and doctrinal stuff that a lot of people give it credit for, I think. I don't hear people preach that much on John 17. But today we're going to go ahead and read through verse 12, and then we'll go ahead and focus on what we're going to talk about. The name of the Lord.
When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I glorify you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you. For I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them and have come to know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world. And I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me.
Amen.
I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost, except the son of destruction, that the scripture might be fulfilled.
And that that son of destruction is Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed Jesus.
With the holy kiss. Well, it wasn't a holy kiss.
It was a kiss. Yeah, it was a kiss. Yeah. So looking back at verse 4, we went over verses 1 through 3 and really focused on 3 last time. It says that I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. He's talking about his disciples, not just the 12 that were following him. How many know that there were a lot of other disciples that followed Jesus? He had many individuals that followed him. We see in the book of Acts that one of those individuals that was following Jesus after Judas hangs himself replaces Judas's place. They cast lots for him. But if we see this prayer, Jesus is really communicating to the Father, you know, who he was before he was with the Father, before he was here, and who he's going to be afterwards. He was the one that allowed and had everything through him was made. Everything in the world was made through him. God the Father was working through Jesus. I mean, the whole Trinity of God is a little bit difficult to understand sometimes. But Jesus the Son has always been with the Father. He was with the Father before the world was even created, and he allowed it to be spoken into existence. And he was manifested in the world to manifest the Father's name. Mm-hmm. And so we want to talk about the name of the Lord today. If we look at verse 7, it says, now they know that everything that you have given me is from you, for I have given them the words that you gave me, and that they have received them and have come to know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. So they, you know, if we look at the verses through 14 or the chapters 14 through 16, Jesus is communicating to them, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I and the Father are one. If you see Jesus' character, when you read the Gospels, you see how he treated people, how he communicated to people, how he loved people, how he didn't just judge people. He gave people opportunity to change and to become more like he designed them to be. And that's the heart of God. That's the heart of the Father. If you've seen Jesus' character and nature, not just him physically, not just what he said, but how he lived his life, how he acted, you're seeing the Father's character and nature. And that's why the Jewish Pharisees and Sadducees had such a hard time with Jesus, because he did not resemble the God that they thought they knew. They thought the God that they knew was this God that, you know, just wiped out all of these other nations. Was a hard taskmaster trying
squish
to please.
People like
yes,
a bug.
But if you read, yeah, squish people like a bug. But if you read David's Psalms and you read his relationship, you know, the Lord that lays him down in green pastures, you know, beside still waters, comforts his heart and his soul. He had a relationship with God that was like Jesus had a relationship with us, and has a relationship to this day.
And David had a relationship so close and so intimate with God that he could be wrong in front of God.
Mm-hmm.
Like in Psalm 51, it says, you know, create me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. He's admitting that he had a wrong spirit. He's admitting that he did something wrong. And God did not forsake him. God did not push him aside. God, I think that endured him to God even more, because he didn't try to pull the wool over God's eyes. And you have to wonder if people have seen Jesus, they've seen the Father. What do they see when they look at me? I mean, come on, let's be real. What do they see when they look at me? Do they, am I an example of Jesus? Am I, do people see God in me? Or do they see a little bit of the snarky me, which I can do that real well. I can be snarky. Do they see, hey, wait a minute. they can see the snarky me, but then the, and but then I'm, oh, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that, you know. But I want people to see Jesus in me. I want the same thing that Jesus had with God. And you know what?
It's available.
We can have it.
Mm-hmm.
It is available for us.
And Jesus isn't the one holding us back, or the Holy Spirit or God. It's
We're
us.
We're the ones holding
us back.
We
choose how much of a relationship we can have with God. It's our decision.
Yes. Amen.
Now, he's at work in us, but how much we allow that work to work in us is important. I mean, if you're sitting here saying, like, wow, I didn't know that it was all up to me. I just don't know how to even start. Just say, Lord, you're at work in me. I yield to that work.
Yeah.
I surrender to what you want to do in me. Even if I don't understand it, even if I can't comprehend it, I surrender to that work. I give you the ability to work in my life.
Yeah. Amen.
Okay. So we're going to look at, we didn't look real quick at verse 10. All mine are yours and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. And then verse 11, this is kind of what we want to focus on today, 11 and 12. And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. So he's letting the Father know, which, of course, the Father knows, is that he's not going to be in the world any longer, but they're going to be in the world. Now, being in the world and of the world are two different things. You know, some people say, well, I'm in the world. That's why I do things. You know, well, you're in the world, but you're not of the world. You don't have to be conformed to the world. You don't have to let the world subject itself upon you. You can subject yourself upon the world. That's what it means to be light. That's what it means to be a candle or a lamp sitting on a hill that the whole city can see. Mm-hmm. We can be a world changer. Mm-hmm. The world doesn't have to change us. Which is good news.
And there are some people that when they give their heart to Jesus and they remember the date and the time, they could point to the place, you know, at the altar where they knelt. But they keep pointing to that because their character doesn't show it. Their life doesn't equal it. They keep pointing to that. I want people to see that I've been converted, that I've been saved, that God has made me different by what I do, not by what I did.
Right. And, by how you live.
But how I am and how I live and whose I am.
Yeah. Then he says, holy... Oh, Eric's got something. Huh?
So I just wanted to touch on this point of what you said. You said, I don't have to be subject to the world. I can subject myself to the world. And I just thought that was so good because I think sometimes when this conversation comes up, am I out of the picture?
Oh my gosh.
Camera hates me. I just think so much when we talk about this subject of being the light in the world, we can like make it bigger than it actually needs to be. And we think like, oh, you know, I have to have all these verses memorized and I have to have all these strategies to like, you know, bring heaven down to earth, which that's true. Sometimes you do, but at times, most of the time, it's just your character. Like Billy and I were having this conversation earlier, like, you know, Billy got the chance to go serve somebody and it was just out of the kindness of his heart and bless that person by helping them build their fence yesterday. And I don't say this to like brag on myself, but I was at a store with my daughter and her friend. And I could see, we were at a thrift store and the girls went inside and I was sitting in my car and I saw this lady trying to put a office chair in her car. It was not happening. Like I watched it for like 5 minutes. It was not happening. So the girls get in the car, we're getting ready to leave. And I'm like, I just have to ask her if I could help her. So I said, hey, do you live close? She said, yeah, I just live down the road. I was like, if you like, you could throw it in my Subi. I'll drive it to your house. And again, I don't say that to be like, good job, Eric. But it's, and I didn't pray for her. I didn't invite her to church. Like, all those things went through my head. But nonetheless, I showed her a characteristic of Jesus.
Yeah.
And she, I don't know what that encounter did for her. I might never know. But I just want to demystify it for a second of like, us being the light of the world isn't always a super uber spiritual thing. It's just us operating in the gifting that Jesus has given us.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Good.
Amen. Amen. So, Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me. So he's telling or asking the Father, asking the Father to keep them in the name. Mm-hmm. And what is the name that it says that the angels gave to Mary to say, to use for the name for Jesus? Jesus. Mm-hmm. They were to call him Jesus, which means salvation, by the way. His very name means salvation. When you say Jesus, you're saying, save me. Jesus. That's when we cry out the name of Jesus. Jesus. That means you're calling for him to save you. And I have a testimony about that in a little bit. So it says, while I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them and not one of them has been lost except the son of destruction, that scripture might be fulfilled. So I'm going to talk a little bit about what does it mean to declare the name, to trust in the name, to hope in the name, and to say the name even. If we look at, I thought that was so cool that you guys covered two songs that talked about the name of Jesus today, that the name of Jesus is above every other name. Here's a scripture. This is in Proverbs 18:10. Go ahead and read it.
In the New Living, the name of the Lord is a strong fortress. The godly run to him and are safe.
Hold on just a second. That used to be a song in the olden days. Did you ever sing it?
Eric.
Yeah. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and they are saved. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and they are saved. And then we would dovetail that with, blessed be the name of the Lord. We'll have a little revival meeting. Here it goes. No, let's not. Anyway, go ahead and read it in the Amplified as well.
Amplified. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The consistently righteous man, upright and in right standing with God, runs into it and is safe, high, above evil, and strong.
It's interesting that it talks about the righteous running into it and they are safe, or the godly running into it and they are safe. You know, and some people are, wow, Pastor, I'm not righteous. I mean, you didn't see what I did yesterday. I mean, Eric, you know, drove somebody's, you know, chair to their house, you know. Fill in the blank. And so I'm anywhere as far from righteous, you know, or close to righteous. The thing is that if you look at your own deeds, your own actions, I'm sure Eric probably had areas maybe in the last week, possibly yesterday. No, never. that there was struggle, that you were falling short of God's glory. You know, and some people think that sin is the only way you can fall short of God's glory. No, just not living as he's called you to live in the standard, in the thought life, all of those things is falling short of his glory. But you know what? It's not our righteousness that we're singing about here. We're singing about the righteousness of God. Mm-hmm. You know, Jesus became sin who knew no sin, so that what? So that we could become the righteousness of God. So we are righteous. Mm-hmm. And so we can run into the name of the Lord. What does that mean? Where is the name that I can run into it? Well, what it means is you put your hope, you put your trust, you put all your eggs in that basket. You say, Lord, you are the one that I am counting on to get me through this situation or life in general. I can't face it on my own. And you're running into him. And you know what it says? It says that when you run into him and you're safe, but you're high above all evil. In other words, you're being shrouded and protected by his presence.
And nothing may have changed except your attitude.
And your heart.
And your heart, mm-hmm. Right. The circumstance may still be the same, but you've changed by what Jesus has done in you.
Right. Amen.
Love that.
So, Philippians 2, 9 through 11.
New Living Translation. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor.
This is Jesus now.
And gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
So God elevated him to a place of highest honor and gave him a name that is above every other name. There's no other name that's higher than Jesus. And so that means cancer. That means divorce. That means bankruptcy. That means, you know, all, you fill in the blank. You know, addictions. All of those things that we think are high names when we hear them. Oh, no, they're addicted. Oh, no, they have cancer. Oh, no. Now, does it mean there's always going to be, you know, the solution where there's the outcome that we all want? You know, that's just the miracle and it takes place. No, sometimes, and for whatever reason, I don't know. I mean, I went to the hospital, you know, and I was believing Psalm 91, you know, 1,000 may fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand, but it wasn't going to come near my house, speaking of the COVID mm-hmm. virus, you know, that no pestilence mm-hmm. I had to fear, you know, and I didn't fear, but I did end up in the hospital. And God allowed what do you?
I said, and almost dying.
Yeah, she always fills in that blank. So does Eric. Yeah.
You can't leave that out because he was delivered from death. That's the whole point, is that the bringing glory
Amen.
To the name of Jesus, Jesus delivered him from death.
But God.
And it's the truth. I mean, it's not like I'm squeaking and saying, oh, he was so sick. Oh, no. He pretty much died three times, and they got him back in. Like, I'm telling you, it was scary. And God did that, not those doctors. And I was screaming at the top of my lungs, Jesus, come here, help, you know.
You were calling on the name of the Lord.
I was supposed to do. And, yeah, the doctors came, but nothing they did brought him back. God did. And I'm just saying. Yeah, I always fill in the blanks because... Glory to God, you were.
Amen.
You're sitting here in this chair.
Amen. I agree. I am amening you all the way.
You're a miracle.
You know? I'm a miracle. Amen. Yes, amen. What the enemy meant for evil, I was going to say, God
amen.
Made good. Yep. He allowed what literally the enemy tried to kill me with, he allowed it to bless me. Mm-hmm. Now, I can't see all of that. You know, I still have a scar, I still have things, but I'm telling you that there is a blessing that I received because of what the enemy brought up against me.
Right.
Because of the attack of COVID in my life. And that goes for any of you. Whatever you suffered in your life, if you look at it with the idea that there's no other name greater than the name of Jesus and you're in Christ, what he means for evil will be made good in your
Amen.
Life eventually. May not be tomorrow, but in the future it will. So the name above any other name. So if you have names in your life that you're thinking of, oh, I have this issue, or this has happened to me, or they did this to me in the past, or I have to have this happen. I'm thinking that's going to happen in 5 days, what's coming up. Just know that the name of the Lord, Jesus' name, is above every other name.
Yes.
It's above those names. And so you don't have to fret and worry. Does that mean that every circumstance is going to change immediately? No, but it means that you can walk into that situation. Mm-hmm. Though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you don't have to fear it.
Right.
You don't have to let it grip your heart. And again, I can attest, during the whole time in the hospital, not one time was I afraid. Not one time was I worried. I mean, I didn't have anxiety. It was almost like surreal, really.
Yeah.
You know, because I'd been in situations like that, not near as bad, where circumstances were happening, and I'm like, oh boy, what am I? I never did that. So
right.
he guarded me, he sheltered me, he was a high tower for me. All right. One more verse. And this is important for all of us to remember.
Ready?
Yep.
Romans 10, 12 through 13 in the New King James Version. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Now this is talking about, you know, really us receiving salvation, you know. But years ago, I mean, I was probably, you know, just a couple years old Christian. I think it started even before then. Maybe about a year after I got saved, I would be asleep at night, and all of a sudden I would wake up, and I would feel like something was strangling me. It was like this. It's like, you know, I like had a hard time breathing and everything, and so I would just go, Jesus, you know, I would call the name of the Lord, and then it would go away. And this happened throughout my early Christianity. And eventually it just went away. And I believe that what happened is that because of what I learned and the freedom and the truth that I had received, that the Lord delivered me. I never had anybody pray over me about, you know, the choking demon or whatever it was. But I believe that as I walked in greater truth, that I walked in greater freedom. And that was one of the freedoms. But what I wanted us to know is I called upon the name of the Lord. I didn't say, you know, I didn't have like big fancy. I just said, Jesus, you know, and the enemy would flee. And so whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Notice it doesn't say whoever is in a perfect place and been, you know, doing things right, or whoever is, you know,
sinless
or whatever you want to. It's whoever calls, whosoever believes in me will not perish but have everlasting life. The end of John 3:16. It does not take any type of qualification to call on the name of the Lord,
right,
except that you're humble and you're needy and will be saved.
And the very best name to call is Jesus.
The very best name to call is Jesus.
Yeah.
Yep. Amen. You're calling salvation. Save me. Just say the name of Jesus. Save me. That's what you're saying. Salvation come. Isn't that good?
Amen.
Amen.
So I just want to say to anybody here or listening or maybe going to listen in the future, I can just hear in my ear some people saying, well, what about me? It's all good that he knew to call on Jesus, and it's all good that he's sitting there and COVID-free, and it's all good that, you know, there are people that, but what about me, Lord? What about me? You know, I've had a rough time. I've had a rough life. And it's not rosy at all. Well, let me just say that Jesus is never far from the brokenhearted.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes to bind up that brokenhearted wound. And let me just say something about that scripture. I believe it's Isaiah 61. Or maybe, yeah, I'm pretty sure it's Isaiah 61.
61, yeah.
And what it says is it says that he comes to bind up the wounds. Let me just say that binding is a process. It can be very miraculous and quick. It can be immediate. But sometimes it takes a debriefing, and that's where they scrape at the scar to get rid of all of that infection or old wound scarring or whatever. And then it takes the binding, which is a process. A binding is a continual binding around, and it's a medication. It's a touch of something that brings healing, which would be the hand of the Lord. This is a process sometimes. Sometimes it doesn't happen immediately when we ask. But I will say, if you're able to sit under this message and hear it, you're better off than some people, because there are some people that are deaf. If you can receive encouragement from it and you can take it and apply it somehow in your life, you're better than some, because some will just scoff and say, that's for somebody else. That's not for me. The reason you're sitting here is the reason God moved today. He knew who would be here. He knew who would be sitting in what chair. He knew who would be singing on the stage. He knew who would even come forward for prayer. He knew it all. He's here especially for you. So take him at his word. Take him that he is your Savior. Take him at his word that he comes to bind your wounds and to bring healing to you. And receive it to yourself. Don't just hear it, but receive it. Draw it close to you and say, that's mine. That's my word. That's mine for today. I get to name the day, name the time, and name the place where Jesus gave me that. And you remind the enemy, yeah, I may not have been healed as I was walking around praying for other people, but I know healing is mine.
Amen.
I know it is, and I'm going to say it is mine. That's something I get to wrap up close to my heart and take with me. That healing is mine. So as we're getting ready to close, I just want to encourage you that if you've had that thought run through your mind, that's good, but that's always for somebody else. Let me just say, you are not a mistake sitting here today. Jesus knew that you would be here, and he knew that your ear would be attuned to what was being said, and you got it. Claim it. Claim it for yourself. Amen?
Amen. choose to run into your name today. We choose, Lord, to let you be our focus. Let you be the one we set our eyes on, set our heart on, set our imagination on. Lord, we want to be kept in that perfect peace, Lord, that comes from setting our mind and our imagination on you. Help us, Lord, to not be overwhelmed. Help us, Lord, not to be consumed, Lord, with the circumstances that life throws at us. Let us remain in your name. Let us remain in your presence. Let us remain in the life that you've given us to live, Lord, in you. I just pray for every person here today, Lord, that they would experience a new level, Lord, of staying in your name, of running in your name, of staying in the shelter of your name, Lord, in every area of their life. We just thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you, God, that you are the one that's at work in our lives, Lord, and you're going to be faithful to complete this work that you've started in each and every one of us. You reign above it all. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Love you guys. Bless you. Have a great day.